Welcome to all of you, Megan and Fran. Thanks for coming. My friend Kent is also here. Kent and I used to play football, still want to play football, waiting to play football. A good friend of ours, and I think Nigel and the rest could be late or something, and here's the traffic. But never mind, we take it from here. As we start, I want to just also welcome those who are there people on YouTube Live, can we tell? There's some people, is it? I think there's some people on YouTube Live. We are not using Zoom anymore. So just check out the YouTube links and we take it from there. I always tell people when you do YouTube Live, it means anyone and anytime can hear you. So be careful what you say. But we trust that God will use this time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time as we come before you. We ask, oh God, that you just bless the people that come, especially for those who are new, who are here for the first time. May you speak to them. May your word go forth and bring healing, bring a balming effect so that, Lord, their life will count for you. So we commit all we have to you. We know that as we come before you, as we even broadcast live YouTube podcasts, delayed podcasts and so forth, the word that is just spoken today from this pulpit, from your servant, will be a word that is going to bring edification and bring glory to your son's name. So, Lord, heal those who are sick, those who are not feeling well, be with them. Those who are feeling stressed at work, may you speak to them so that, Lord, in the bank, in their fintech business, in the law firm, in whatever they do, they'll be able to know that as they call upon the name of the Lord, it's a name of a strong tower for those who run to it. Will be safe. So we commit all we have to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this church, when we first started, Megan, we made it very clear. The only reason why we started this church is so that everybody can grow. If you're from another church, or a small, if you're in a big church, sometimes it's very easy to be lost in the crowd. That's why people like Angela to be pulled out. And then every time when I ask her a question, she's to wake up. I say, today, what does courage mean? Courage means courage, lah. What else can it be? But when you come together, everybody grows together. We want to give an opportunity for people to just come. This is a pulpit, and Silas and I know it's very clear that we have a burden to make sure that whatever we go forth from here, it should bring edification to the body, right? Especially there are people who actually take their time to come. There's some people who may be pre-believers who come, but it's a miracle how everybody come together. Megan is actually a client of mine. Don't know what, got some accident, came to see me. I also don't know why I invited her to come to church. She came. And then I told the chat, you know, there's this Megan coming. And then this the one in the Chinese New Year clothes come and say, is it the Megan for Megan Tan? And guess what? They're ex-colleagues. And then they say, there's another Karen, not my wife Karen, but the other Karen. Is that the ex-colleague? Also ex-colleague. So I tell you, what are the chances of that happening? There's so many thousand churches in Singapore. Right? I don't know how many, okay? You can ask me how many lawyers we have, about 4,500 lawyers. How many churches, I don't know. But the chances of the ex-colleagues coming together, intertwined, coming together to attend this church, it's crazy. It only can be set up by God. So I told Megan, you better at least come twice because, you know, whatever. And then we horse traded. I say, no, at least three times. Come physically three times. And I'm sure after that, she'll continue to come again. All right? Pei Wen is here, right? How are you? You are Joe's... relative, welcome. Good to see you. Again, that one is, I don't know how you come on. I think apparently Joe went to see you and wanted something, right? Talk. And then you know Joe are very chiong, hey, now he's out here, I can say anything. And then our suspect asked you to come to church and then you're here. Just like that. When we invite people, people come. And Megan invites a friend and then a friend will come. I actually told Megan to come only, then Megan bring someone. Next thing will be Megan will bring the whole troop and the whole village will come. That's the church for you. And the best part is we're seeing people come from all walks of life. Ken is obviously not a lady. Ken is a football fan. Megan is a client. And then different people come. Joe's relative is here. So I'm really excited that we're attracting all kinds of people, Sabrina. It's not one genre and one category, but all kinds of people all coming together because of the name of Christ. And I think that should be the basis upon which you meet. I want to always give an opportunity for people to grow. And when you have an opportunity to grow, it's also to come forward and speak about the goodness of God. So today, I want to ask someone who's fairly new to us. Her name is Penny. She always call me Elder Go, so I call her Junior Penny. It's like, well, you call me Elder, I call you Junior. So I want to give Penny an opportunity to come and tell us about how God is doing something in her life. She said 15 minutes cannot. I said cannot. Somehow today start late, so no 15 minutes, you understand? Otherwise, after 10 minutes, I'll be glaring at you. But, well, give her some slack. I think it's wonderful to just hear from Penny. So can we just welcome Penny? She wants to give a bit of a testimony and give glory to God. Come, let's sing for Penny.
Hello. So I joined this church sometime during COVID back in 2020. The person who brought me to this church happened to be my colleague. Her name is Nyap. So before I joined this church, I was kind of like floating around churches. So the reason behind my mindset was that I kind of was thinking that the relationship with God is a very personal relationship. And I don't feel like there's a need for me to involve any other human beings in my relationship with God. I can read the Bible on my own. I can watch YouTube. And so during COVID, when there was Zoom, I was really happy because I thought that it's so convenient, right? I can multitask while I Zoom into the service. I can watch Netflix on the side, wash my dishes, and it's very efficient. And I really liked it. Then when I come to church, I told Nyap that, well, I'm just going to be like Casper the ghost. I just want to float in at 5 p.m. and then I'll float out at 6 p.m. I don't want to talk to anyone. There's no need to, in my opinion, to talk to anybody during then. So then Nyap asked me, can I give your number to Daniel Goh? And immediately I said, no way, please don't give my number to anybody. Don't give to especially Daniel Goh, right? Because then I know that I'm going to become very busy. So she said, okay, fine. Then on another occasion, she asked me again, you know, Daniel asked you to join this cell group. Then I said, no lah, I don't want to join anything. I just want to float in and out. I told you before, right? In and out, like a ghost. Then she said, but you know this cell group, we're going to do it like after work hours, near the office. It's going to be in the bar. There's drinks, there's food. And the people in this cell group, very fun. They're all like nice ladies. So I thought, okay, why not? Let's just go one evening after work. So that one evening after work, I get to know Lei Ching and Janice. Janice looked a little bit intimidating at first, but she's actually a very nice lady. Yeah, so subsequently, one cell group session leads to another. And now I'm actually doing two cell groups a week because the group has expanded beyond five people and it's beyond the cap. So now I'm doing two a week. And then one day, Daniel just tell me, he stopped asking me, I guess. He just tell me directly, you go and do this welcome thing. So basically, I'm supposed to welcome all the newcomers. So for those newcomers that I have not welcomed, I would like to say to you, welcome, Huan Ying. Okay, then I end up today standing here. I have no idea why or how I end up giving a testimony because I'm actually quite a new Christian. But I do it with a willing heart. If you asked me last year, will I agree to this, I would probably tell you a straight no, never. But I'm doing this today with a willing heart and I thank God for that. So I guess the earlier mindset about worshipping God alone, this personal relationship with God is mine and mine alone, hasn't been very accurate because I dare to say that I think my relationship with God right now has been the deepest as of today. And I think that through cell group sharing experiences and hearing about other people's problems and how God has performed different miracles, no matter how big or small in their life, has made me count my blessings even more. And talking to people from church and coming to church physically has actually let me understand a lot more about the Bible and what God actually wants me to know. And my relationship with God has definitely deepened. So now when I come to church, I stop thinking that I'm actually going to a place or I'm attending an institution. I think of it more like I'm coming into a community of people who are like-minded, be it whether you are exploring the religion or whether you are already a very old Christian, we are all here to learn more, to deepen our own relationship with God. It's equally as personal as before. So I consider myself quite a new Christian because I accepted Christ back in 2018. So during that year, it was kind of one of the most difficult years in my short life. Okay, so I went through a surgery. I had a long recovery process, and during 2018 was also the year where I had a lot of issues at work. So I was in this bank, and I will call it Bank X. So Bank X, I was there for about 9 years. And during the 9 years, I would say that I was working in a very toxic environment. And on the fifth year, I actually wanted out. So I started to send my resume and my CVs. And interestingly, I didn't have much luck in getting interviews or a new job. So the last straw came actually in 2018, where my ex-boss actually told me that he's going to resign. And the situation was so bad that basically, the team started out with 10 people, and it kept changing, and in the end, it was only left with him and me, and he's going to leave. So I'm like the last person left. So I told myself that, okay, this is it, right? Like, the situation has gotten so bad, I'm having insomnia every other night. Like, life shouldn't be like this. So I will have to leave too, regardless of whether I find a job or not. So I still remember every month I'm checking my bank account just to make sure that I have enough funds to last me, forecasting how long it takes for me to find a new job. So then in 2018, after I accepted Christ, I prayed very hard about this. So my prayer goes like, dear God, like, I have been in this toxic environment for 9 years. I think it's time for me to leave. Please help me to get interviews in a new role, in a new bank. So I don't even want a different role in the same bank, right? So I wanted to completely change my role. So I heard nothing for like almost the entire year. But towards the end of 2018, somehow I just felt it at the back of my bone that something is going to happen. I don't know how to explain, but I know something is going to happen. And suddenly, January 2019, I just got influx of calls from headhunters and go for interviews and all. So one of the bank that I interview with is Bank Y, which is the bank that I'm with right now. So I went for the interview. The process was very smooth. And the difference between Bank Y and the other banks is that I don't have to go through many rounds of interview. It was so smooth that I couldn't believe it. But the problem is, I do not want to join Bank Y because Bank Y during then was undergoing a lot of stress. There were rumors that it's going to collapse. Their share price is trading at all-time low. And everyone around me told me that, Bank Y, you're just going from one shithole to another. You will have the same stress. You will go through the same problem. You should try others. But when I was praying, I feel like this is what God wants me to join because everything is so smooth. It can't be so smooth. While the other bank interviews was positive, but it is not as smooth because I have to go through many rounds. So when I was interviewing with Bank Y, the boss then that was interviewing me actually told me that, oh, you know, your experience, right, is not suitable for this role that you're applying for. In fact, I have another role for you, which I think is more suitable. Let me come back to you. So, you know, when someone say, let me come back to you, it's just like when a guy asks a girl out and the girl say, and let me come back to you, right? It's most of the time meaning that she wants some time to reject you. She's just thinking of how to reject you. So when he said, let me come back to you, I'm like, okay, sure. In my mind, I was like, when I say sure, I'm like, okay, I also don't want to join Bank Y, right? Good, you take as much time as you want. I just want to go for other interviews and know what's my option. So the thing is that, you know, Bank Y came back while other banks are still trying to see how they can hire me. And I pray about it to God. So I said, God, I really don't want to join Bank Y. You know, I have done my market research. This bank is going to collapse. Like, I don't want to go to another place and I'm jobless again. Like, what's the point? Right? I need more time. I want to, like, interview more banks. And then thereafter, I want to join the biggest bank out there. Why do I want to join Bank Y? But, you know, there's no time because when they give out the offer letter, I have to commit within a week or two. So I can't really delay for very long. And in the end, I joined Bank Y. So the first month in Bank Y was like actually one of my fittest months because every day at lunchtime, I'll be at the gym because I have no friends because I changed industry completely. So I know nobody. So the second month of Bank Y, I met this lady who happened to be Nyap's ex-boss. She's a nice old lady. And she looked at me and she was like, are you new? I'm like, yes. Then she said, you know, there is this alpha that we are doing in the office every week. Why don't you join? It's only lunchtime and, you know, Nyap will buy lunch. I'm like, oh, free lunch and can listen to people talk. Okay lah. So I joined. And then I was thinking, I was a little bit surprised as well because in Bank X, no such thing will ever happen. Nobody wants to share anything personal because anything personal you share can be used against you. So the life in Bank X was such that you need to be careful of what you tell people. No sharing, nothing. You just go to work. You just think of how you can survive. That's all. In Bank Y, when I attended Alpha, everybody was kind of like nice, sharing, talking about their experiences, asking questions. And I was a little bit overwhelmed by the experience. And to cut the long story short, you know, I get to know Nyap from there. And then she brought me to church. And everything is history. So I guess that sometimes being too smart or thinking that you're too smart is not very good. So there's a Chinese saying that goes like, 傻人有傻福, which means that fortune favors the fool. And I realized that every time when I pray, I always like to ask for many, many, many things. But when God actually answered my prayers, right, I wasn't readily willing to accept what He has blessed me with. So in this instance, you know, God knows best, while I think that I know better because I'm in the industry. But how can I know better than God, right? Instead of accepting what he has blessed me with, I actually try to negotiate a better deal for myself. And I think it happens to a lot of my friends as well. When they pray, they don't have the faith that what they pray for has been heard by God and that God will answer them in his ways, regardless of whether it's the way that you like him to answer, whether the thing he gives you is something you really want, whether you think that it can be better. But, you know, from this experience, I just constantly remind myself that every time I pray, I need to have the faith that my prayer will be answered, and when it is answered by God, I will know it at the back of my bone, and that when it's answered, I will just be like a child and say to God, thank you, God, full stop, no negotiation. So I guess I have to end this testimony. 10 minutes almost up. With this verse from the book of Mark, I like to use this when people sometimes jokingly say, Penny, you're very naive and very childish. And to them, right, I would like to say Mark 15:10, truly I say to you, whoever that does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Thank you.
Thank you. You mean, Angela, last time your husband asked you to go out, you don't want to go out, you say, let me come back to you. Got such thing? Reply next day. What a wonderful testimony for someone who is new. But the fact of the matter is, I just want to catch a few things there. The point of the matter is this: if she didn't go to Bang Y, she wouldn't have come to know God. I know her ex-boss, Nyap's ex-boss. I know her very well. And it is when you do something in the marketplace, when you reach out to people where you are, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a banker, it is where you are in the marketplace that you send the signal out that there is a God out there. You don't get a chance to send a signal out to Penny in here because she's not here. You don't get a chance to send a signal where she has a drink because she doesn't talk to you. But if she goes to work at a place and you are there and you are a person of influence and you are the boss, and then you say, why don't you just come and get free lunch and free everything? It makes a difference. And the best part is, I think when she first came, I've been noticing this lady come always sit by herself. No, Gun, last time when she used to come herself, always sit by herself with like she's got some disease or whatever, and then herself, nobody there to come her, she don't come to anybody. But that's exactly the kind of people we need to feel welcome, right? That's why I make her the welcomer. Because she used to be the one that is solo batang, but now I make her welcome everybody. See, God allows us to go through something for a reason. And when I hear this testimony, Janice, and don't be fooled, lah. Janice is not looks intimidating. Janice is intimidating. But guess what? Last week she came here and asked me to pray for her. But it's God. What we stand to people, man to man, that's a disposition. But in front of God, we all need him. And when we come to God, God answers our prayers. Isn't that a wonderful story to tell to your people? So Megan, the next time you come today, right? Strike three, right? Two more, bring more new people and try to be early next time. Kidding. But as we come, know that God is doing something new. Amen? I want to just quickly, my goodness, 5:30 already. How do I finish? Today, get ready to leave at 7:30, okay? We were talking about Mark, and let's go to Mark, and I want to just end. I was talking about Mark last week, and let's go quickly to my slides, thank you. We talked about Mark, and I wanted to just quickly go there, and I wanted to say that we talked about Moses, right? Remember? Moses being meek, and I wanted to just go back and kill off, so to speak, on this subject of meekness by talking about Jesus. Jesus is meekness personified. Jesus is fully human, but also the Son of God. So he suffered. Do you think, Sharon, when Jesus was on earth, that he had times whereby he had hunger pangs? Was he thirsty? Was he angry? Was he hot and bothered? Was he tempted by the devil for 40 days? Absolutely. So which is why, if you look at the book of Hebrews, I didn't mean to say that, but know that when you go through whatever you go through, the book of Hebrews, and one day maybe Silas and I, we should talk about it, it is quite clear that he is the high priest, right? Jesus himself, he says that whatever you go through, I have also gone through. Now, that's a very good assurance to all of us. And last week, I think I talked about the fact that he, when he was in Gethsemane, he struggled, he was deeply distressed. So when you have stress, when Owen, you're stressed at work, understand that Jesus also was stressed before. But that stress didn't cause him to tumble or to collapse. So there is that assurance to all of us that Jesus was fully man, human, came down human form, but he's also the Son of God. But yet at the same time, understand something, and I thought one some of the a bit small, but let me just run through. He was meekness personified. He was meek. I will just go to the second bullet point. He chose to remain silent and not defend himself when he was accused. He kept quiet. Now, why would he keep quiet? Because he knew that he had to keep quiet and whatever that was going to come to pass had to come to pass. He was going to die. He was missional. He knew he had to do it. He had to die. In fact, he had a chance not to die. If you go to, I want you to go to Matthew 26:53. I think that's very important because I'm running out of time already. Go to Matthew 26:53 and you quickly go there. And I want to flip there. Let me find Matthew 26:53 for you. And I want to just go to that verse. Matthew 26:53. When Jesus was arrested, Matthew 26:3 says, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." That is the situation whereby Matthew 26:52, this is the context whereby Jesus was arrested. Jesus was arrested and 26:53, listen to this. And if you're on YouTube Live, check out your Bibles. He says here, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" So if God wanted to do something, guys, he can do it, yep. So if he wanted to be spared from going to the cross, Clarissa, is there a chance he can call upon the angels and say, "My Seng Liao," and finish? Answer, yes, he could. But he said, "Do you think I cannot?" The answer is, of course, he's teeing up for you to say, yes, he could, right, Janice? God could. Matthew 26, could he have called upon his Father, Jesus, and at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? It's a rhetorical, but the answer is, Sabrina, yes, he could. But guess what? And this is what we need to know. But how would the scriptures be just fulfilled that says it must happen this way? So he was completely missional. He knew that he will not do it. Actually, he can, he says, Owen, but he chose not to. Why? Because he had to die for us. If that story doesn't comfort anybody, I don't know what else you want. How many more years do you have? Where some people here, I can look at two look alike, my sister and then Janice, all going to be grandmothers soon already. After being grandmother, what? Great-grandmother. After great-grandmother, what? Hey, all of us are going home soon, you know. But doesn't mean that these grandmothers will go back before I or you. What makes you think that a person cannot die at 50 years old? People like Silas always say, well, we're already ready to go anytime. We're not suicidal. No? But Silas, I feel like we're ready to go. But when you are ready to go anytime, your life is very freeing. Do you understand? But if you're not ready to go, you're collapsing to everything. Oh, I haven't seen my dog. My dog haven't become pregnant. I haven't eaten the D24, even the latest one. I haven't bought an EV yet. Friend, you're missing the point. Your life is not your own. God determines how many more days you have. Hazel, Ken, please don't think you're 40. I'm not asking you to go now. Please don't think you're 40, I'm 55, you will go, I go. Nobody knows. But every day live as if it is the last. That helps. So that's Jesus. I track back. He was the one who said, look, I could have done it, but I chose not to. Matthew 26:53. And then he goes on to say that he drove out the traders, the money changers, overturned the tables. He blocked anyone carrying merchandise through the temple courts. Just because Esther, someone is weak, Jesus is weak, doesn't mean that he takes crap. Hey, not only flip the tables over, I didn't see it. We always, you know, when we talk about it, he calls it the temple of the dens, the thieves, and what you, he flipped, right? I didn't even see it until recently. I read it again. He even blocked. Stand there, block. Don't send the merchandise in. That's how far he went. We need to take positions. When do we get offended? Meekness means, remember last week I spoke, don't get offended, right? But you should get offended, Owen, when someone says something about your God or what you stand for. Does it make sense? I'm not telling you to take arms and fight. I'm not suggesting war. But you don't get offended, Sabrina or June, when? What? If I call June you something, then mind, just keep serving God. God will vindicate. Remember last week we talked about Moses? God will vindicate. But when do you take offense? When? You take offense when someone says something about your God and your faith. Then I think you better stand up. I know it's YouTube live. I'm not saying take the arms and go and kill people, but you stand up and you defend the gospel. Is that okay with you? You have to defend the gospel. Sit down there, oh, it's okay, I got no opinion, everything is fine. That's not it, man. That's not meekness. Meekness means don't take offense, but when you need to, you have to be the bastion of righteousness so that people can look at you and say, this girl or this guy is for real. Now, that's what it takes to be missional. That what is what it means to be meek. So in the points 4 and 5, Philip cried out in the last hour, my God, why have you forsaken me? He still came to the conclusion, yet not what I will, but what you, Father, will. The ultimate act of meekness, the next point, the ultimate act of meekness is power and ability to release the angels, 26:53, at the snap of his fingers before and during his crucifixion. Yet he refrained from doing so, so that mankind was redeemed. So that when the Roman soldier who saw, remember, they really swung him, right? Take his clothes, gamble, go and take him, strip him naked. But at the end of the day, when he was hung there and he died, and the temple in 3 days split, remember that scene? Was it not the Roman soldier and say, this is the Son of God? The truth will eventually hit you. It will. Right from until the time all those Roman soldiers were playing, don't know, playing gaolang, whatever, playing part, whatever, poker, whatever, still joking, whatever, mock him, remember? Put the thorns, remember they took this kind of thorns, put her and say, Sabrina, tekan you. He just tahan, Jesus. But at the end of the day, was it not the Romans just say, this must be the Son of God? Are you with me? You must come to the point whereby at the end of the day, the truth will prevail. That's all God. He will do it. And I urge all of us, you only have how many days? How many more days? Even if you can, you think you're 40, you have another 40 years. 40 times 365, can start counting. 14,400. Tomorrow will be 14,399. Other 14,398. Make every day count for God. That's what's required. Everybody does that. This church will grow. And God will connect the dots. God can connect Megan and Miss Chinese New Year clothes together. Only God can do this. How can I do this? There's no way I could have arranged this. You mean that this client of all 4,500 lawyers, you come to me? What, you go to other lawyers and then come see me some more? Nothing better to do. Come to church here. That's meekness personified for you. And today I want to go on to talk about the heart of God. Show me my next slide. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. The next slide, I'm rushing now. I want to tell you that wisdom exercise is never a merely intellectual affair. It's a disposition of the heart plus ideas in the head. It makes sense for us to know. Now, we want to close Mark. When we talk about Mark, we talk about what he did, right? Janice, we look at what he did. I said, not that it's not important. Look at what he did. But when you know what he did, and you also know what he says, right? You actually must also know what's the heart of God, isn't it? So as I talk about it, I say, God, as you bring us to the end of Mark, what do I speak to the people of God in the next couple of weeks? And maybe Silas can even talk about it on the 19th of March. I want us to think about the heart of God. Not only do you know what he did in the book of Mark, not only do you see what he says, and that's all in your all the four Gospels, right? But what do you know about the heart of God? Because the heart, and I'm going to tell you about heart of God, so important. What do you mean by heart? When you talk about heart, Angela, what's the heart? Heart means heart. But when you talk about heart, what does it mean? And today, with that short little time at 5:40 now, I want to talk about what the heart of God means to you. When you talk about heart, sometimes I want to just bring things straight to your mind. When you talk about heart, this one, you talk about the will of God. Two. Number three, you talk about the intellect or the mind of God. Is that okay? When you talk about God, what about God? Yep. The heart of God. Okay. The heart of God. Number two, the intellect or the mind of God. Number three, the will of God. But today, I want to tell you, and this is my position, conviction, the heart is the most important. Know the heart of God. When you read 1 Samuel 6:17, when God was looking at King David, what did he say about King David? He says, I found a man who is after my heart. So God is interested in the heart of humans. But that's on the one side. God is interested in Karen's heart and Philip's heart. Don't look at what people say, you know. If you look at what people say half the time, I tell you, look at the heart. That's why I got chance. Because when you hear some of the things I say, ask Karen, whatever I say something is bikes people, you know. Because I'm a lawyer, when I say something is very caustic, pa, one time. Don't judge me by the what I say. Try to look at my heart. All symbol. Or is it a heart that is malleable and God can use? Are you with me? Angela, you meet long time with you, right? Do I have a good heart? Yeah. Don't have, better get out, you know. But can I be very fierce? Yeah. Confirm. It's the heart that matters. Matthew 11:29, and today we will spend quite a bit of time. Go to Matthew 11:29, and today if you force me to give you a title to this sermon, we're talking about heart of God. Can you go to Matthew 11:29, and I want to read from 28 to 30, and it is a oft-quoted verse and passage that everybody knows about. But let me start 11:29 first. Can I suggest to you that the only place that you find the gospel that talks about the heart of God is 11:29. If you can find anywhere else, let me know. 11:29 is the only place where you can find the description of the heart of God. 11:29 reads, I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is God talking about himself. You need to know what the heart of God is so that when you align with him, you know what kind of God he is. When we talk about the word gentle and lowly, later I'll show you the next slide. Take it from me, this is the only place in the gospel that describes the condition of his heart. Next slide, take it from me, gentle can also be the word used, could be meek, could also be humble. All right, so when we talk about gentle and lowly in heart, gentleness together with meekness, and we spent last whole week talking about meekness, right? Gentleness, meekness, and humility. That is gentleness per se. Next word, lowly. Lowly is also a bit of an overlap. Humility. So Sabrina, Paywen, God is what? Gentle and lowly in heart. Let's explore a few things about what does it mean to be gentle and lowly. Next slide. Standard, Silas and I always like, I tell you what it is not. What Jesus is not in terms of heart is, he's not harsh. If you talk about gun or IV, when someone is gentle, lowly heart, you can take it from me, he's not harsh. He is not trigger happy, shock only whack you. He's not, we are, he's not. God is not trigger happy. If he was trigger happy, he would have whacked the Roman soldiers who wanted to hang him at the cross. He's not trigger happy. He will listen. And sometimes when you feel like talking, he doesn't. He keeps it to himself. He remains silent. He's not harsh. He's not trigger happy. He is not reactionary. If he had been reactionary, all those taunts at him, all the sarcasm, dripping with sarcasm, all the caustic remarks before they hung him, he should have reacted, man. Owen, if you were there, would you have reacted? Nah, come, hang me. Come, put the nail, knock it down. Put it in, not enough. Come, tighter. God is not harsh, he's not trigger happy, he's not reactionary, and he's not easily exasperated. Half the time when we're in, I don't know about you, Nigel, sometimes we get very exasperated. God is not. Had so many opportunities in the 3 years of his missionary with the disciples, all those disciples. Remember the one I told you about how he was it Peter? Peter in Mark 8, last week I talked about, right? Peter said, you are the Messiah, right? Good answer. After he said that, next thing you know, Peter scolded Jesus. Because Jesus told him, I'm going to be hung. I have to die. He says, choy kule tai kala isi. And then when Jesus predicted his death, Peter scolded him. But that's what it is. God had every opportunity to be, hey, Peter, you just called me the Son of God, the Messiah, and then after that you scold me. You obviously don't know. I said last week, I think it's important. We know Jesus to be the Son of Messiah, but guess what? Some of us don't know the plans he has, and some of us don't know the purposes. And as we continue to grow, people like Penny are beginning to grasp, right? People like Penny thought, actually, it's between me and God. Why I come here for what? I don't need one. Actually, quite true, right? Every day, Netflix, and then toggle, drink some wine, sasikaya, drink here, drink there, Netflix. Very shook. Come to church for what? Then sit beside all those old grandmothers. What for? Stay at home. No need to come. Save money. But that is not what God's plan and purpose is. His plan and purpose is for us to fellowship so that when she comes here now, she doesn't feel like she's coming to a building. She's feeling like she's coming to a community or family. That's the best part, Silas. We did something right. From a person who used to sit by herself alone, she's now sitting with all the grannies. That is church. That's God's plan. That's his purpose. So Peter was a bit of a Jewish arbing, right? Live TV, I can say. Jewish arbing. He says the Messiah. After that, Jesus said, I need to go and die. Why you say this? Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. We need to know Jesus, His identity, His plan, and His purpose. And today, I want to tell you, you better know His heart. What's His heart pounding for? Next slide, please. Understand His heart. His heart is for the people. When you look at the word lowly, I give you some slides here, James 4:8. The word lowly has been used in some of these verses. So when you look at the verses, you get a flavor of what it means. James 4:8, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. The humble, the lowly. Luke 1:5-2, God exalts those of humble estate, those people who are lowly. Next, Romans 12:16, not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. These are some of the verses that will tell you the definition of lowly here. Gentle, we all know. Lowly means, you get an inkling of what lowly means here. What's that mean here? When the word lowly, you see it, Sharon, you're talking about Jesus. His heart is to associate for the people who are lowly. People who are probably in the lower echelons of society. Just why I'm very happy that in this church, I'm glad there are bankers, but we also have all kinds. I'm so happy there's Denise and Chris, who is a D24. Joe, a durian, don't know drop from where. I'm so happy to have him. He's so accountable, Ken. Today, you know, he cannot come, right? Some of you cannot come, don't tell me. Not that I'm dying to know. Some of you never come. You know what he did? He sent death cert. Not that he died. He sent death cert Tuesday. He say, right, TG, cannot come this week. My mother-in-law passed away. Ayo. This is the heart. You hear it, you so melt. Owen, you sick. You send me MC now. And nowadays, they don't want MC some more. But that's the heart. It's a heart issue, isn't it? So God is interested in the lowly. He is interested in the lower echelon society. He's interested to those who are ill. God can handle your broken heart. Some of you broken heart. Some of you got no heart. God also can handle. Some of you awesome. God also can handle. He is for the gentle and the lowly in heart. When we talk about being lowly, I give you a few A's here. He's accessible. God is accessible. Anyone who wants to go to God, free pass. No need vaccination to go restaurant. Free pass. Get to know God. He's accessible to you. He's approachable. Not only is he accessible, when you talk to him, he's approachable. Some of us, I need to ask you, are you approachable? In your office? In the marketplace? Some people look at me, don't dare to come. Then last time, he used to joke on me. They say, hey, your office outside, my all these lawyers, you know, Karen, Adrian, all these idiots. Oh, sorry, Adrian's not idiot. Adrian's a good lawyer. Adrian, are you listening to me? They'll put down there. They say, hey, you should put outside down there. Put a construction sign and say, approach with danger. Have you seen that sign? Worksite accident, ma. Then they put there, want to come in, please wear helmet. It's quite funny. He's approachable. He's accessible. He's accommodating. He tries to accommodate you. Jesus, but look, when we accommodate someone, doesn't mean that everything goes right. Accommodate, okay. Owen and Sharon, Owen now wants to marry a cat. Okay, never mind. Sharon, it's okay lah. The mistress is only a cat, it's not another woman. Let him marry a cat. That's not being accommodating. Do you understand? Stand by your rights. But accommodating meaning God will accommodate us to the extent of whatever is reasonable. Is that okay? He's accessible, he's approachable, he's accommodating. He acts for you. When you pray, Penny or Janice, when we prayed, yesterday, for whatever issue, God acts for you. He changes things. He changes the spiritual dimension. He helps us. That's a God that is worth serving. He is lowly. He's able to say to you His own heart. Verse 29 is, I am gentle and humble in heart. And later, I want to give you the context. But know this, the heart of God. I let you show you this thing. When we talk about heart, sometimes we only think of something. When we talk about heart, we think that it's emotions. Is it true? Heart is emotion, of course. But it's not the only thing. So I say down there, actually I just put that there, don't emo only. Then Joe can put this kind of sign down there. Looks like a sacrum, you know, if you're a medical doctor. Huh? Quite funny. What is the heart? Don't emo only. The heart is emotions, right? Angela, it's heart, emotions, of course. But that is not all. And now this slide, if you forget anything else I talk about, listen to this, the next slide. The heart is where your value center is. When Silas has a heart, that's where you find his values. You don't find his values on his mind, you know. The mind is corrupted. But actually, the heart can also be corrupted. We don't talk enough about the heart. Some of us used to be from a certain church, and I know churches, some of them are called Heart of God Church. What is the heartbeat? What is God's heart? But what does the heart stand for? The heart stands for the value center. It's the motivational HQ, where you are motivated to do what you are to do. That's your motivation, motivational HQ. And it's a core of your being. So I'm always interested in someone's heart. Don't look at his outward appearance. Sometimes you look at our appearance, we fail. When you look at TG, every day when he come and wear Liverpool jersey, there's nothing else he wears. You look at our appearance, I tell you, you will die. But these are the people who week in, week out will serve God. Every time also set people up for dinner. And then next one, Friday, again another dinner, I'm also needed to go. I'm happy to go. Then we fellowship. Right, June? Don't look at the outward appearance, but your heart is where your value center is. So look at someone's heart. Look at Penny's heart. Look at Janice's heart. What do you stand for? What is your motivation? That's the headquarters. And what is the core of your being? I just give you one verse today. Proverbs 4:23. Again, Joe and the big red one. Looks like some t-shirt brand that Silas and I like. Remember this brand? Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, meaning anything else, everything. Above all else, what do you need to do? Guard your heart. Why do you need to guard your heart? Because the heart is your motivational HQ, is where your values reside. Are you with me? That's the word of God. Proverbs is always associated with wisdom, right? So when you talk about wisdom, there's also the heart. Above everything else, Stanley, guard your heart. Don't let the illness discourage you. Don't let anything that some people say against you offend you. Steady. How many people call me so many names? I always realize when you get more influential, people either like, don't even use the word like, love you or hate you. I've gotten used to it. You just don't want to go out there and then 10 out of 10 hate you. But 9 out of 10, some people don't like you. It's okay. I still do my best to go back the way. Hey, Owen, why you don't like me? I can explain to you why I did this. Hopefully, I win you back. If I can't, I try. Above all else, guard your heart. The Word of God doesn't say guard your mind, guard your will, guard your intellect. Are you with me? Guard your heart. If God tells you to guard your heart and not your mind, you better know why. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows from it. So if Penny said that she decided to come to church and she decided that she cannot be just at home, Netflix, drink wine, and then listen to them and multitask, actually that's rubbish. When you listen to the Word of God, you're multitasking, you're not listening. Because when you do that, everything you do flows from it. Any decision you make, of course you've got a brain, right, Owen? You've got a mind. But what are you motivated by? It's a heart issue. So Proverbs 4:23, I think it's important for you to know, for everything you do, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Next slide. It is a matter of life and death. In some countries, the heart, quite interesting, is the number one killer. Maybe in Singapore, it's cancer. Heart disease. A matter of life and death. So guard your heart. Yourself. And we already talked about heart of God, but your own heart, guard it. It drives all that you do. You're motivated with something, it drives you. It's always a heart issue. It's not an intellect or a will issue. If you don't have the heart, I always say, right, for example, I say, Megan, hey, come now, come to church. I don't have the heart to come. It's not I don't have the mind to come. I don't have the intellect. You mean she looks stupid? Huh? No, it's a heart issue, isn't it? If I ask Nigel, can you help with the playing worship? Because sometimes Esther needs a break. After a while, we'll toggle to you. And Nigel say, actually, I don't want to do it. When she say, I don't want to do it, what does it mean? He cannot play? He has the talent. He has the gift. You see, I thought like that. You got no chance. You have to play already. You understand? He is a heart issue. I don't have the heart. If you know this song that I'm going to sing, I don't have a heart, that means you're of a certain age. Michael Bolton, I don't have a heart. You don't sing, I don't have a mind. What? I don't have a mind. You siao. No, it's a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. Some people don't do something, June, when I tell you to go and do, can you help with the kids? If you don't do it, it's a heart issue. What else can it be? What else can it be? I don't have the heart, not the brains to do something. What destroys your heart. It's not in the slides. I give you something free of charge, bonus. I give you 5S. What caused us to have our heart to be in a position whereby you're not receptive to God? Number one, success. If you're too successful, you know what happens? Your heart is crowded. I don't know about you, but sometimes you have all these plans on the Bible app. You know, you don't want to download something, right? And then I don't know why. I think God's always speaking to me. I had this one about C.S. Lewis, and then I got his plan. I read it. I always appreciate C.S. Lewis. Very cerebral guy. Brilliant. Always like to read his stuff. It keeps coming back, and sometimes he will come back. The Bible app shows me down there. It talks about how you cannot have too much money. You have too much money, success cross your heart. It's always like staring at me. So I know I won't be a multimillionaire. I'm comfortable, but I won't have 100 million. Success can crowd your heart. Your heart. Too much success, you don't need God. Number two, selfishness. When you become selfish, right? Let's say Jasmine don't want to play guitar anymore. When you're selfish, it strings your heart. You become very what? 小心, whatever lah. Strings your heart. Number three, if you are lazy, your heart is dry. When you're slothful, it dries your heart. Number four, when you sin, what happens? Your heart is what? When you sin, what happens? Your heart is hardened. Remember the Pharaoh's God in the Old Testament hardened the heart, right? So when you sin, you harden the heart. The fifth one, when you're stressed, your heart is broken. Five S's. Success crowds your heart. Selfishness strings your heart. Sloth, being lazy, dries your heart. Sin hardens your heart. Stress breaks your heart. Who do you associate with in the marketplace? I thought about it. Just now, I think I caught you saying, Benny, like-minded. You said like-minded. Some of you talk about, let's work with like-minded people. Hey, Gun and Ivy, are you all like-minded? Are you all like-willed? Are you all like intellect? Do you marry someone of the same IQ? Maybe first date, when you go out of time, what's your IQ? I suggest that's the most important. I've been thinking, when you talk about like-minded, right? We always talk about, find like-minded. Nothing wrong with that. A thought came to me. I think the more important thing is, can you find someone that's like-hearted? Not L-I-G-H-T, but like-hearted, same heart. Then you do things together. Am I making sense? We always talk about like-minded. Oh, we are like-minded. Janice and I are like-minded. We want to do things for God. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That should be pleased with that. But how about being like-hearted, same heart? A heart to serve God. Today when I came, I had a taxi outside waiting for me. TG bought a taxi for Esther and I. Is it? Kopio Pok. For me, taxi. I didn't ask for it. Because last week when I came, then he said, you came early. Should have bought you medicine only. No? I said, you can walk 10 minutes. Liverpool jersey, very sweaty, chow one, you know. You walk so far. The wife is laughing. That's it, no need lah. Then this week I come, from far I saw this Yakun thing, must be for me, but I don't have the thick skin. I just come in here, if Philip can pull on my mic, and then he bring the Yakun to me. If your heart is right, God can use. Don't only be like-minded, be like-hearted, same heart. Miss Go. Don't know why I always call you Miss Go. When we are all together, wanting to do things together, the church will grow. It's being light-hearted. I want to close. It's 6. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me show you. I told Philip, get me a yoke. The yoke is that thing that sits on that. Is it an ox? Ox, The yoke. You sit it, agricultural, you sit it on the yoke. Is a yoke ever light? If you put it on an ox, must it be light or heavy? Answer? Heavy. So if actually I'm an ox, the Hokkien will call it, I cannot get you. the ox, you have the yoke sitting on you. So these are some of you, and the word of God says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Go to Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you, 11:29, and learn from me. Why? Because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's Matthew 11:29. Today I'll stop here because I think next week I'll carry on. I don't want to miss about heart of God. When God says, take my yoke upon you, it's an oxymoron again. Is a yoke ever light? It's heavy, right? I mean, does it look very light to you? It's an ox, you know. It's not a plastic ox. You want to suppress an ox, you need something heavy, right, Owen? Physics teacher, whatever teacher you are. It cannot be light. It is oxymoronic. How can it be, take my yoke and then I'm gentle and high? And then verse 30 says, my yoke is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cannot be. But guess what? Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Maybe not the best time to stop. You will find rest for your souls doesn't mean you will find rest for your bodies. Some of us think that yoke is light means, oh, I know you to do kang. Absolutely not true. That's why, Penny, you got to work hard. You find rest not for your body, you find rest for your soul. So that when you work and when we work for God, I mean, sometimes, look, this Joe, full-time staff, super on, every time chase me for things. And then when I'm working or having do my trial, then she'll be sending a slides ready or not. I was like, wow, I cannot take it. It's like a yoke, you know. But the yoke is easy, the yoke is light. And when you do that, there's rest for your souls. There's a sense of restedness. But please, we got to work hard. Rest for your body is not rest for your souls. That's why, June, acute ward, work hard. You mean sit down there, shake leg. With a little bleeding, never mind. Burden is light. Let him bleed to death. No! You will do what you need to do so that the person will be safe. Amen? Today, we stop here. Next week, let me talk a bit, but I want to just end by saying this. The yoke is easy does not mean that life is a breeze. The yoke is easy. The word is kind. The yoke is kind. Verse 30, for my yoke is kind and my burden is light. The yoke is a lifesaver. The yoke is not meant to press you down. When you have a yoke payment, it is not a yoke to thumb you down so that you cannot. Think lifesaver. When you are struggling to be afloat, what do you have? I throw you afloat, right? The float is meant to save you, not to drown you. You understand? So the yoke is light. The yoke is easy. And when you go to God, He says, learn from me. Why? Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I've given you the explanation. When you know the heart of God, there's a chance that you got to know Him better. I end with this. When you look at Matthew 11:28 all the way to 30, it is God telling you to learn from Him, right? You know, when we talk about something, right? Let's say, Janice, today let's talk. You're not happy something, right? Let's sit down. Do we say, let's have a mind-to-mind talk? Let's have a will-to-will talk. Now, your left ear talk to my right ear. Your nose got some nose hair talk to my nose hair. No, it's a heart-to-heart talk. Let's stretch it out. Can I suggest to you, Matthew 11:28-30 is a heart-to-heart situation. So when you come to God, God says, come to me, all who are weary. God didn't say, come to me, some who are weary, whatever. All who are weary, but you must come. That's the problem. Some of us don't come. You hide. You suppress. You got problem, you don't say. When you come to God, there's a chance. Heart to heart talk. You connect. God is looking for people who are after His heart. When your heart is malleable, you're able to do His work. That's our prayer for this church. That people will come, their hearts are malleable. It is a heart that God can use. So that when you know that this is God's heart, you will do the work that God wants you to do. You understand? It's a heart-to-heart talk. It's a heart-to-heart transfusion. It's the ability to know what God wants and you do exactly what He wants to tell you. And next week, I will take it further from here. His heart is a heart also of compassion. That is gone. A heart. Motivational HQ. It's not just emotions. Of course, there's emotions. But over and above emotions, it is your value center. If you get your heart right, you will do the work of God. Your values, your motivation comes from knowing His heart, a heart-to-heart transfusion. Learn from Him. This yoke is easy. It is kind. The burden is light. May the Lord free you. I'm going to ask Jasmine to just come and lead us in a song of worship. As she comes to come worship, I want to pray for you that you will just, as you listen to this, let the Lord do something in your heart. Let us pray. Father, thank you as we come before you. As Esther just brings us to a time of worship, I pray for you and with no one looking around, especially if you are not, you don't know God. Wow, this is the best time. God's heart. He is gentle and lowly. He's accessible, he's approachable, he's accommodating. He acts for us. That's our God. Not so much an intellect issue, not a mind issue, not a will issue. It's an issue of the heart. Come. May He speak to you, even as Esther leads us in a time of worship. Open your heart. And when you open your heart, no one can see, but you know when your heart is open. Open your heart so that God can speak to you heart to heart.
To just encourage all of us that that you are called His child. And I felt that the Lord want to say that, my child, I love you. So even as we worship the Lord under this song, and as you learn and follow how to sing, maybe an affirmation in your heart that the Lord sees you as His precious child. You unravel me with the melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Has called my name. I've been born again. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. You have split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are thrown in perfect love. You rescue me so I could stand and say, I am a child. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drown my fears in perfect love. You rescue me so I can stand and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
If you're ready, you can stand with me and sing the next song. You are good.
You are good.
Yes, the Lord, you're good.
You are good. You are good. Mercy is
top, your kindness.
Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side.
Your mercy calls. Your mercy calls me to be like Him.
Your favor.
Your favor is my delight every day. And every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from your heart. Say, you are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. Mercies last forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is sing forever. You are good. And you are good. You are good. You are good. The mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good.
Mercy is forever.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want to pray for you with no one looking around. If your heart is a heart that is malleable and wants to be connected to God, with no one looking around, open your palms before the Lord and ask the Lord to just bless you. Lord, thank you for the hearts that are receptive and open. And Lord, when they raise their hands before you, as they lift their hearts and their hands and open palms before you, I pray for you, my brother and sister, open heavens. And I pray for you that you understand each and every day as you walk with Him the heartbeat of God, and you know that God's heart is gentle and lowly. He is for us. He will bless everyone whose heart is open. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. May your heart have a heart-to-heart transfusion so that each and every time, as you spend time in just worshiping Him, as you spend time working, God is always speaking to you and you will be receptive to what He wants to do in and through your life. The Lord bless you. I pray for you an abundance of the Holy Spirit so that the Lord will guide you in everything you do. I pray for you that when church starts on a Monday, as you go back to the workplace, you'll be a tremendous blessing. Inasmuch as you've been blessed like Penny, when you go back, be that blessing to someone that needs it out there in the marketplace. May the heart of God be that motivational HQ for you so you do the work of His kingdom. I pray you through all this to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.